بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our eighth session, and Allah knows best, perhaps the final session for this reading from حقوق كبار السن في الإسلام, the rights of the elderly in Islam, by our noble Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Before we look at tonight's discussion, which is the continuation of an outline of some of the rights of the elderly, in the previous session we mentioned five of them, and three remain, which we hope to cover tonight, we want to just review some of the points that we discussed in the previous session last week, from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 7. The first question being mentioned, the first of 8 huquq, first of the 8 rights of the elderly that's mentioned by the author, and what it actually means. What was the first right? Yeah, Abdul Wali.
Yuwakir al-kabirin.
Okay, and yuwakir al-kabir. Naam. Yani al-tawqir. How does the Shaykh explain, what is the meaning of a tawqir? Yani tawqir al-kibar. What does he say this actually means?
Honoring the elderly first, honoring them.
Okay, honoring them, but yani with emphasis on that which is in the heart. Yani having high esteem, high regard, respect in the heart for the elderly. Yani that a person has in their heart the consciousness, the awareness that the elderly have a special status, a special rank, a special station. This is from the first of the matters that the Shaykh has mentioned. Yani in terms of the rights of the elderly, the first thing he mentioned is tawqir, and he mentioned and he emphasized the point that it is the condition of the heart, that it recognizes the station, yani the rank, the position, the status of the elderly. Now, the second question, why does the author say tawqir is the starting point and the supporting pillar for carrying out the rights of the elderly? Why is it the starting point and the supporting pillar for enabling a person to carry out the rights of the elderly? Now,
because whoever does not respect his elders, it is not possible for him to carry out.
Now, because whoever doesn't have tawqir, who doesn't have in their heart this recognition of the station and the status and the rank of the elderly, then they wouldn't be able to fulfill the other rights of the elderly without first having that consciousness, that awareness in their heart. Question number 3, mention the second of the huquq, or the rights of the elderly, mentioned by the author, and 3 of its illustrations or manifestations. Yani the second of the rights of the elderly that the Shaykh mentioned. What was the second thing that he mentioned from the rights of the elderly?
Seeking aid from Allah. To seek aid from Allah.
That was from the second of the things that a person has to be aware of, be conscious of, in order to help them to fulfill the rights. But the second right that the Shaykh mentions is from a hadith. Naam. Naam. Okay, respecting the white-haired, the grey-haired, the elderly Muslim. Yani, the Shaykh actually mentions the word that he used here is ikram. Yani, honoring the elderly Muslim. And here,
reverence.
Yani, yeah, reverence, honor, respect, all of this is part of the meaning here. That is, that a person honors them by certain things that they do, and the Shaykh mentioned 3 of them. One,
pleasant speech.
When the person speaks to the elderly, he speaks to them in a nice way. Another one,
fine interaction,
that they interact with the elderly in a good way. In a good way. Naam. And the third one he mentioned,
friendly acts of love.
Okay, friendly acts of love. Yani, dealing with the person in a way that shows your love, affection for that elderly person. Not in a harsh way, and as some people deal with the elderly because of their impatience with them. Question number 4. Mention the statement of the Prophet ﷺ from which this right is derived. What is the hadith That's the second right that the Shaykh mentions derived from what hadith? Naam. Fadl. Azaki. Think good of them. The hadith that the Shaykh mentions here is a hadith that we mentioned previously in one of the earlier sessions. Yani min ijlalillah, yani from the aspects of showing reverence for Allah is ikram the shaybatil Muslim. Yani is that a person honors the elderly Muslim. Yani it's a manifestation of showing reverence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you honor the elderly Muslim. Question number 5, mention the third of the huquq or the rights of the elderly mentioned by the author and the dalil or the evidence for it. Yani the third of the rights of the elderly that the Shaykh mentioned and the hadith that he mentioned, or at least the part of the hadith that he mentioned supporting it. Naam. Anwar.
That the young should greet the elderly.
Okay, the third right is that the young person should not just greet them, but more specifically should initiate the greeting of the elderly, meaning that the young person should rush, should hurry, should hasten to greet the elderly person first. And he initiating the greetings to the elderly is from the rights of the elderly, that we initiate those greetings, that we don't wait. A young person doesn't wait. Rather, he hastens to greet the elderly person first. And the proof that he mentioned for this is the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, the hadith, I'm sorry, who's speaking? I hear more than one voice. You want to speak? Go ahead. Yeah, I don't know. Whoever, I heard somebody's voice. I don't know who it was. Naam, fadl.
The young should greet the elderly, and the rider should greet the pedestrian.
Naam, the young person should initiate greetings to the elderly, and the rider should initiate greetings to the person who is walking. To the end of the hadith. That's the part of the hadith that he mentioned. Naam.
That being said, I would like to
move
all my salam to the elderly
person
and the rest of the
day. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I have a question though.
Okay, questions is in the end, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Fayyib, question number 6 mentioned the fourth of the huquq or the rights of the elderly mentioned by the author. The fourth of the rights of the elderly that's mentioned by the author. Fourth. Tafadhal. Abdul Wali.
When you speak to them, you call them by a gracious title, like oh uncle or sibling.
Now, when you speak to them, that you address them with a beautiful, a polite, yani title. You greet them in a nice way, like in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the early generations of the Muslims, they used to speak to an elderly person as though that person was the brother of their father. Ya ammi, yani oh uncle. As though that person was their father's brother, and this is showing respect for their age, for their station, for their position, for their status, for their rank as being from the elderly. Question number 7, summarize the story in the Sahihain where Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu was addressed with this type of polite speech. And in the summary of the story of Anas ibn Malik. Now, anybody remember that hadith? A person said that we, I can't hear you that well. My hearing is poor, you know. As you get older, you can't hear well. Can't see well. Okay, that's part of it, yeah. Now, you want to add to it?
They had prayed
Salatul
Dhuhr.
They prayed Salatul Dhuhr.
And then shortly after they met.
And shortly after that they met. They entered upon Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu and found him praying
Salatul
Asr. And they asked him, "What prayer are you praying?" And he said, "This is the Asr prayer, and this was the time in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to perform it." The point is, in that hadith, the narrator mentions, he said, and he referred to him with this title, Ya Ammi. Showing respect for the elder. The 8th question mentioned the 5th of the huquq, rights of the elderly mentioned by the author. The 5th of the rights of the elderly mentioned by the author. Number 5, now.
Given
precedence to them in speaking, in gatherings,
in entering,
in food, yani giving them the first, giving them priority, giving them precedence to be the first one to enter, to sit, to eat, and so on. This is from the rights of the elderly. And the last question summarizes the story of the murder of Abdul ibn Sahal, radiallahu anhu, mentioning the shahid for this right. Mentioning in that story, what was the point? Yani in that incident that points to this right of the elderly. Yani of giving them precedence. What was the story and what is the point in the story? Naam, Adil.
One, the young man was found killed.
Okay. One of the companions was found killed, murdered.
They reported it to the Prophet.
Okay, two of them first, they were going together to Khaybar. And at that time there was a truce with the Jews. They separated from each other. When he came back to his companion, he found him dead, laying in his blood. Now, they went back to the Prophet ﷺ and informed him.
What happened?
Three of them went to him.
The youngest of them. And the Prophet
started to speak, and the Prophet ﷺ said, "Kabir, Kabir." Yani, let the older speak, and then the older ones spoke. Yani, the point of this report is, yani, it is a proof of the fact that the elderly should have precedence, should have priority in all matters, yani, that are of importance. Yani, they should be allowed to speak first if, yani, more than one person wants to speak, and so on. At that point, the young person remained silent and the others spoke. These are some of the points that we covered last week, and tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to start with the point number 6, or the right, the 6th right that the Shaykh mentions, which is on page 66 in the English translation of the book, and it's on page 35 in the Arabic. And there's one Arabic copy remaining. If anybody didn't get a copy and would like a copy, fadl. Pass this to him. In fact, there's another one. There's two. Anybody else need Arabic? Arabic? Fadl. Pass this to him. Pass it to him. You don't have to get up. Somebody will pass it to you. Pardon me. Tayyib. If somebody else needs one, inshallah, I'll get it to you later. I don't have any more here now. So we're going to start on page 35 of the Arabic. And in the English translations on page 66, it says Sadisan, and he's the 6th of the Hukuk of the elderly, and Turai Wada'ahu As-Sihi Wal-Badani Wal-Nafsi Bisababi Al-Kibr Bisababi Al-Kibr Wada'afihi. Yani the 6th of the rights of the elderly is that a person, yani, that you bear in mind, that you take into account the condition of this elderly person in terms of their siha, their health, in terms of their physical and mental condition. Yani paying attention to this, making allowance for them in consideration of their condition, being aware of their condition. And the Shaykh says that this is from those affairs which many of the young people are ignorant of, are not aware that when they deal with an elderly person, they should pay attention to and keep in mind the condition of that elderly person, their physical, mental condition, as well as the condition of their health. The Shaykh goes on to say, وَأَن تَعْرِفَ, and also part of this right, وَأَن تَعْرِفَ أَنَّ هَذِهِ الْمَرْحَلَةَ الَّتِي يَعِيشُهَا مَرْحَلَةُ دَعَفٍ عَامٍ فِي بَدَنِهِ وَصِحَّتِهِ وَحَوَاسِهِ. Yani, that a person, that part of the right of the elderly here is that you know that this stage in the life of the elderly person that they are living in right now is a stage of general weakness, where their body is weak and their health is poor, and their senses, yani their ability to hear and to see and other things like this are also affected, yani are weakened because of their age. Knowing this, being conscious of this, yani that this is a condition of general weakness, that generally the elderly are weak in every situation, in every aspect that you want to look at, whether it's physical, mental, or whatever. And also the Shaykh says that if Allah allows you to live a long life, that perhaps you might pass through this very same stage in your life, yani of reaching the age of yani elder, of the elder. So the human being, the Shaykh says, in the beginning of his life and in the prime of his youth, yani is, he says, يَكُونُ غَدًّا طَرِيًّا لَيِّنَ الْأَعْطَافِ بَهِيَّ الْمَنْظُرِ. Yani that the person in the yani early part of their life, in the beginning of their life, when they are young, in the prime of their youth, they are fresh and tender, yani they are pliant, their body is in a good condition, and their appearance is, yani they have a good appearance. Then he begins to reach the age of al-kuhula. Al-kuhula means, yani when a person is middle-aged, yani at the height of their life. فَتَتَغَيَّرُ طِبَاعُهُ وَيَنْفَدُ بَعْدُ قُوَّاهُ. So at this point, when the person reaches this middle age, then their disposition, their behavior changes, and they begin to lose, yani, some of their strength. Then the Shaykh says, يَقْبُرْ فَيَسِيرُ شَيْخًا كَبِيرًا. Then the person, yani, gets older, and they become an elderly person, an old age person. And they become weak in terms of their strength and their vigor and their power. And they become qalil al-haraka, yani inactive, not having a lot of movement. وَيُعْجِزُهُ أَشَيْءَ الْيَسِيرَ. And even doing simple little things, he becomes incapable. Yani the elderly person becomes incapable of doing little things that early on in life a person didn't think twice about. And as every one of us, yani, starts to get a little bit older, you begin to realize the reality of this. That you can't do the things you used to do when you were younger. And you might only be 40 or 50. You didn't get 60 or 70 yet. And already you realize that you are not what you used to be when you were 20 and 25 and 30. So this is, yani, the Shaykh is describing here, yani, the condition that the human being goes through. Then he mentions from the Quran the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which mentions the stages of the human being in general. Yani the saying of Allah in Surah Ar-Rum, 30th Surah, 54th Ayat, Allahu alladhi khalaqakum min da'afin. Allah is the one who created you from, yani in a state of weakness. Thumma ja'ala min ba'di da'afin quwwa. And then he gave you strength after that period of weakness. ثم جعل من بعد قوة ضعفا وشيبة. And then he said that after this strength, yani you became weak again and gray-haired. And he, the ayat, yani continues, ويخلق ما يشاء وهو العليم القدير. Allah is the one who creates whatever He wills, and He is the one who is all-knowing and all-powerful, and He has the ability to do whatever He wills. Just briefly, this ayah, yani, shows us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being in a state of weakness. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir in his tafsir mentions concerning this that the human being in the beginning of their life as a child is, yani, extremely weak, or this is Al-Imam As-Sa'di says, is extremely weak, and he doesn't have power or a lot of ability to do many things. And then Allah increases him in strength little by little until he reaches, yani, the stage, yani, in which he becomes strong, and his strength increases outwardly and inwardly until he goes to the next stage, in which he begins to get weak, and then he becomes weak, yani, as, yani, in comparison to the beginning of his life when he was a child. The Shaykh, after mentioning this ayat that Allah created the human being in a state of weakness where he didn't have the ability or the power to do almost anything, and then after this weakness Allah gave him strength little by little until he reached a state in which he is very strong, and then he, yani, after that strength made him to be in a state of weakness again, yani the stage in which a person is an elderly, old person. The Shaykh also mentions in Surah Al-Hajj, 22nd Surah, 5th Ayah, the saying of Allah, وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُتَوَفَّى وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرَدْ إِلَىٰ أَرْذَلِ الْعُمْرِ. Yani from amongst you are those who Allah takes their soul. Yani they die, as Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir says, فِي حَال شَبَابِهِ وَقُوَّاهُ, dies in a condition where he is still young and strong. Some people Allah takes their soul while they are young and still strong. And from amongst you there are those who return, Allah returns them, they are returned to the condition of old age. As Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, وَهُوَ الشَّيْخُوكَ, yani when a person is old, وَالْحَرَمْ, when they become senile, وَضَعَفْ الْقُوَّةِ, and they become weak, وَالْعَقْلْ وَالْفَهَمْ, and even their intellect and their understanding also diminishes and decreases. And this ayah, yani is a lengthy ayah, but here the shahid, or the point that the shaykh wants to make here, is that there are some people who Allah takes their soul while they are young and strong, and there are other people who Allah allows them to live a long life until they live, yani to a state where they become old and senile and weak, physically, mentally, and otherwise. Then the shaykh, he says, or Al-Imam Sa'adi says concerning this ayat, another point, he says, so the strength of the human being is surrounded or encompassed between two weaknesses, da'af at-tufula wa naqsiha wa da'af al-haram wa naqsiha. Yani that the human being's strength comes in between two periods of weakness, the weakness of their childhood and the defect in them when they are children, and the weakness of their old age and the yani defect that's in the person when they become very old. Then the shaykh, he says, in that case, from the right of the elderly upon you is that you know their condition, the condition of their health and the condition of their mind and the condition of their senses, yani their ability to perceive. The shaykh says, indeed, some of the people, due to their old age and their frailty and their weakness and the weakness of their senses, return to a condition in which their behavior is similar or resembles the behavior of a small child. So pay attention to this, yani keep this in mind, that some elderly people, yani their condition becomes such that they are like a small child, like an infant, physically, mentally, and otherwise. The shaykh says, at the same time, there are those who don't know this, who are not aware, who are not conscious of paying attention to the condition of the elderly. So you find those people, تَجِدُهُ سُرَعَانْ مَا يَمَلُّ مِنَ الْكَبِيرِ وَيَسْأَمُ مِنْ مُعَامَلَتِهِ لِأَنَّهُ لَا يَسْتَشْعِرْ الْحَالِ أَلَّتِي يُعَانِيهَا الْكَبِيرِ. He said, so there are some people who are not aware of this, yani of paying attention to the condition of the elderly, so you find that person quickly becoming impatient, becoming tired and bored and fed up with the elderly person and fed up with dealing with the elderly person. And this is because, yani why does a person quickly become impatient with the elderly? That is because he is not conscious, he is not aware of the condition that the elderly person is suffering from. Yani not being aware, not being conscious, not having a feeling for the condition of that elderly person, yani the young person becomes impatient in dealing with the elder. The shaykh says, so the solution to this, فَإِذَا اسْتَحْضَرْتَ هَذَا الْمَقَامِ وَاسْتَذْكَرْتَهُ وعرفت أنه حق عليك وأنه واجب يجب أن ترعاه فإنك ستقوم بهذا الواجب وترعاه على أتم حال وأحسن ما يكون. Sheikh says, and the translation here is a little bit, the meaning is lost a little bit in because of a point where it goes away from the actual words of the Sheikh. But just try to keep in mind the meaning here is, the Sheikh is saying, if a person calls to mind this condition, this situation of the elderly person, and if they remember it, if they remind themselves and remember, to pay attention to the condition of the person, and if they know that this is a right, if you know that this is a right upon you, and that it is an obligation that is obligatory upon you to pay attention to bear in mind, in that case, then you will be able to fulfill this obligation, and you will be able to guard it and to protect it and to perform it in the best manner possible. If a person calls to mind, keeps in the forefront of their mind the condition of the elderly people, and if they remind themselves of that and know that it is a right to pay attention to this matter, and that it is obligatory upon them to pay attention to this, then in that case the person will be able to fulfill this obligation, in the most perfect and in the best manner that is possible. So the point here is that when people are not aware of the condition of the elderly, when they don't pay attention to this, and they don't realize the condition of the elderly, physically, mentally, or otherwise, then they will become impatient quickly. While if a person calls this to mind and reminds themselves and pays attention to this and knows that it is obligatory upon us to pay attention to the condition of the elderly in order to fulfill the rights, the person will be able to do so in the best manner possible. The Sheikh goes on to say, وَمِنَ الْأُمُورِ الْمُؤَسِّفَةِ وَالْمُؤْلِمَةِ أَنَّ بَعْدُ الْأَبْنَاءِ يُؤَدِّي مَرْحَلَةً مِنَ الْإِحْسَانِ ثُمَّ يَسْأَمُ وَيَمَلُّ وَيَتْرُكُ الْإِحْسَانِ. What is sad and painful when we think about it is that some of the children fulfill a stage or a portion or a part of the ihsan that is required of them towards the elderly, and then not just towards the elderly but even more particularly towards their parents, and then they become bored and they become tired and they become impatient and they become fed up, and then they abandon treating their parents in the way that, the good way, the dutiful manner that is upon them. The Sheikh says, rather, worse than that, the affair has reached the point where some children take their father or take their mother, take their parents to the places where elderly people are left, the retirement home or the nursing home or the senior citizen place or whatever names they use for them. They take their parents from their own home to a place where they leave them for somebody else to take care of them, because they don't have the patience, they don't have the consciousness of the obligation upon them to take care of their parents. So they take them to these places which are supposed to take care of the elderly, and they leave them in that place. Rather, some of them discard them, reject them, disown them, abandon them, and turn their back on them, and don't show any care for them, hatta haqq ziyara, even to the extent they don't even visit them, they don't even fulfill the right of visiting them. And in some of these places, the parent, the father or the mother may remain for 15 years or less than that or more than that, and their children do not even fulfill the obligation of visiting them. They don't even visit them. وَلَا حَتَّى فِي يَوْمُ الْعِيدِ. Not even on the day of Eid. وَلَوْ سُئِلَ هَذَا الْإِبْنِ. And if this child was asked, would you like that your children treat you the way you have treated your parent when you became old? What would they say? There's no doubt that they wouldn't be pleased with that for themselves. And here I'm going to make a point, and just quickly, because of the importance of, I need to stay on target here with the time that we have. I remember many, many years ago, going as a group, some Muslim brothers and sisters, to visit one of these places where the elderly are left. And we found their old lady, who looked like she was about 70 years old. And she was so happy to see us. It turned out that she was a Muslim who was abandoned by her family. And when she saw the Muslims, she was so happy just to see a Muslim. Yani, you can't imagine the condition and how you would feel if you saw that Muslim person in that place, abandoned. Not even your mother or your father or your relative. What about her children? Yani, what did her family, yani, what kind of condition were they in to leave that woman? This is in America, in New York City. Yani, a Muslim lady left in one of these places, abandoned. She didn't see a Muslim in so long. When she saw us, she just was, yani, her whole condition changed. And this shows, yani, the horror, yani, the terrible, yani, act, yani, that this is for children to take their parents and put them in such a place. The Shaykh ends this particular point here with a hadith. He mentions that, yani, after mentioning that, yani, if a person was to be asked, how would they like for their children to treat them in that way, obviously they wouldn't be pleased with it. And he says in the hadith that is sahih, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma, man ahabba an yuzahzaha anin nari wa yudkhal al-jannata فَلْتَأْتِهِ مَنِيَّتُهُ وَهُوَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَلْيَأْتِ إِلَى النَّاسِ الَّذِي يُحِبُّ أَنْ يُؤْتَى إِلَيْهِ. Yani, that whoever would love to be distanced from the hellfire and admitted into the paradise, then let his death come to him while he is believing in Allah in the last day. And let him, yani, bring to the people or treat the people in the way that he himself would like to be treated. Let him treat the people in the way that he would like to be treated. The Shaykh, he then says, in any case, whether one of your parents reaches this stage of senility, yani old age, where they begin to lose their physical and mental capacity, whether they reach that stage or they didn't reach that stage, nonetheless, it becomes incumbent. It is imposed as a duty upon every individual to fulfill the rights of their parents. مُقَابَلَةً لِلْإِحْسَانِ وَرِعَايَةً لِلْجَمِيلِ وَحِفْظًا لِلْمَعْرُوفِ. Yani, it is incumbent to fulfill their rights, yani, as a compensation for the good that they did to you, and in acknowledgement of the good, the favor that they have done for you, and to protect and to preserve or to return the kindness that you received from your parents when you weren't able to take care of yourself. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, and this is from Surah Al-Luqman, 31st Surah, 14th Ayat, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. Yani, we have enjoined, advised, commanded the people, the human being, to be dutiful, to be good, to be kind to his parents. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَحْنًا عَلَى وَحْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ. Yani, it is your mother who has borne you with weakness and hardship upon weakness and hardship, and the weaning period is for 2 full years. And Allah says, and it is incumbent upon you to be thankful, to be grateful to me and to your parents. And to me is the final return. Yani, this ayat is a reminder to us of, as the Shaykh says here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat has combined the right of the parents. He has combined the right of the parents with his right, Allah's right, and he has joined or combined, yani, the gratitude that is due to parents with the gratitude that is due to him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the words, anushkur li wa li walidayka, and be grateful to me and to your parents. Yani, so this, yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah is making us to know the importance of the rights of the parents, the importance of being grateful, yani, returning, yani, the favor, the goodness, the kindness that parents have given to their children, returning it to them. Yani, he's comparing it to his own right, that you be grateful to him. فَهَذَا حَقٌّ لَازِمٌ يَبْقَى إِلَى مَوْتِهِمَا. And this is a right that is, yani, inseparable, that remains until they die. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَسْأَلُ الْعَبْدَ عَنْ ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. And Allah the Most High will question a person about, yani, this right on the Day of Resurrection. The seventh right that the Shaykh mentions here is to me one of the most important rights, and perhaps, yani, in terms of the general rights, it is the last of the general rights that are due to elderly in general, because the last right that the Shaykh mentions is specifically to parents. The seventh right, the Shaykh says, الدُّعَى لَهُمْ, yani, to supplicate for them. The seventh right is that you supplicate to Allah for the elderly. And the Shaykh mentions several things with which a person should supplicate for the elderly. And this doesn't mean that these are the only things, but certainly these are from the important things that a person can try to keep in mind if they want to supplicate for an elderly person. The first, he says, أَن تَدْعُوَ لَهُمْ بِطُولَ الْعُمْرِ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Yani, that you supplicate for them that they have a long life in obedience to Allah. Yani, that they live long in obedience to Allah. Not just living long, but having a long life of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second one, he says, وَتَدْعُوَ لَهُمْ بِالتَّوْفِيقِ وَالسَّدَادِ. Yani, to supplicate to Allah for them that he give them success in what they are doing of good and correctness. The third, he says, وَبِأَنْ يَحْفَظَهُمْ اللَّهُ جَلَّ وَعَلَى, and that Allah protect and preserve them. And the next one, he said, وَأَنْ يُمَتِّعَهُمْ بِالصِّحَّةِ وَالْعَافِيَةِ, and that Allah, yani, allow them to enjoy good health and well-being. That Allah allow them to enjoy good health and well-being. Then he says, وَأَنْ يُحْسِنَ لَهُمْ الْخَاتِمَةِ, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow them to have a good ending, that they die upon, yani, in a good condition, in a condition in which Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with him. And finally he says, وَأَنْ تَدْعُوَ لَهُمْ بِأَنْ يَكُونُوا مِمَّنْ قَالَ فِيهِمْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حِينَمَا سُئِلَ عَنْ خَيْرِ النَّاسِ فَقَالَ مَنْ طَالَ عُمُرُهُ وَحَسُنَ عَمَلُهُ. This hadith reported by Ahmed, At-Tirmidhi and others, Shaykh al-Albani, said that it is sahih, and as-sahih and sahih targhib wa tarhib. Yani, to supplicate for them that they would be from among those people whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was asked, who are the best of people? And he said, مَنْ طَالَ عُمُرُهُ, the one who his life is long. وَحَسُنَ عَمَلُهُ, and the one who his deeds are good. Yani, the person who has a long life doing good deeds for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before I go to the next point of what the Shaykh said, I just want to mention just briefly here, yani, from the commentary or the explanation of this hadith in Tuhfat al-Ahwadi, yani, the Shar of Jamia Tirmidhi, he mentions, yani, Shaykh al-Mubarak Fouri, he mentions that this hadith is a hadith in which two Bedouins came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one of them said to him, "Man khayrul ar-rijal, ya Muhammad." Yani, who is the best of men? Meaning the best of people, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Man tala umruhu wa hasuna amaluhu." Yani, to that man's question, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the best of the people are those who live a long life doing good deeds. In the explanation of this hadith, just briefly, yani, the Shaykh, he says here, يعني حسن عمله. He said it means that الأوقات and الساعات كرأس مال التاجر, that the time that a person lives, the hours, يعني the time that a person has in this world is like a person's يعني capital investment for a merchant. So it is incumbent that a person use that capital, that initial capital, in that which will bring about profit. So the more يعني initial capital a person has to work with, the more profit they can get. So whoever benefits, utilizes in that sense, whoever benefits or utilizes the time he has in this world, his lifespan, by doing good deeds, then this person will be successful. They will be successful in life. And whoever wastes their capital, that is the time that they have in this world, then this person will not benefit, and this person will have a great loss. After this, the Shaykh closes this particular point, or he goes on to say here, after mentioning this hadith, he mentions the incident of Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik entered one time a masjid, and he found an elderly man in that masjid. He greeted him with salams, and he said, Ya Fulan, tuhibbu an tamut? He said, Oh so-and-so, would you like to die? Meaning, are you tired of living? Are you ready to leave this world? And sometimes when people get old, they're ready to leave. Especially when they realize that this world is nothing but yani just hardship and difficulty. And that if they live the life of a Muslim and die upon Islam, then what is ahead of them is the rahmah of Allah. So he said, are you ready to die? And the man said, no. And he said, why? And he said, ذَهَبَ الشَّبَابُ وَشَرُّهُ. Yani, my period of youth and the evil that came with it has gone. وَجَاءَ الْكِبَرُ وَخَيْرُهُ. And the period of elderliness and the good that comes with it has now come. وَأَنَا إِذَا قُمْتُ قُلْتُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ. So whenever I stand up, I say Bismillah. وَإِذَا قَعَأْتُ قُلْتُ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. And whenever I sat, I said Alhamdulillah. فَأَنَا أُحِبُّ أَنْ يَبْقَى لِي هَذَا. So I would like to remain in this condition. Yani the man is saying that with youth came a lot of evil, and that is finished. And now in old age, good has come with it. And I'm remembering Allah and praising Allah and thinking about Allah and doing good. And I want this condition, this good condition, to remain. The Shaykh says, he means by this that he wants to continue. يَسْتَمِرُّ حَمِدًا ذَاكِرًا شَاكِرًا. He wants to continue in a condition of praising Allah and remembering Allah and being thankful to Allah. So the evil of the period of youth and what it contained of the overpowering desires and the inclinations to evil conditions, all that has gone. And now he has entered into the period, the goodness of old age and the barakah of old age. So he is living in a stage in which he is near to the end of his lifespan, and he's near to the departure from this life. So he is remembering Allah, and he is expressing gratitude to Allah, and he is praising Allah and glorifying Allah and declaring the oneness of Allah and supplicating to Allah. فَيُرِيدُ أَنْ يَبْقَى لَهُ ذَلِكَ. So he wants this condition, and he wants to this condition to continue, to go on while he's in this condition. The last point that the Shaykh makes is the eighth right. And this right, as opposed to the other rights that we mentioned earlier, is a right that is specific to parents. And in my own words, I would try to describe this right as the right of one's parents, their right that you realize that you need to do more good by them. Because no matter what good you do, it will not be sufficient. No matter what good you do, you will never be able to repay them for what they have done for you. So this right is what? That a young person, or that a child, however age they are, realize that they need to do more if their parents are still available. Because no matter what they do, they can never repay them for what يعني has been given to them. The Shaykh says, ثامناً the eighth right, أن يعلم أنه مهما قدم لن يبلغ جزاء الوالدين. يعني to know that no matter what you present, what no matter what you do for them, you will never reach the point where you have repaid them, yani repaid your parents for the good that they have done for you. And here the Shaykh mentions one hadith, and then he mentions some other incidents, and we close with this. The hadith itself is sufficient. The hadith that the Shaykh actually, here in the Arabic text of this book, he doesn't mention the source for this hadith. He doesn't mention a source. And there's no footnote on it. In the Arabic translation, the translator has made a footnote. And in his footnote, he says that, I don't have the footnote in front of me, but he mentions that the hadith is reported in the Sahih of Muslim, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah, and others. I didn't find the hadith in Sahih Muslim, but it definitely is in the Kutub al-Sunan, and Shaykh al-Albani mentions in several books that the hadith is Sahih. So the hadith, in any case, whether it is in Sahih Muslim or not, and it may be, that's how the translator has placed it in the footnote, it may be there, but even if it isn't, it is an authentic hadith, and it's a hadith that I don't recall myself, I don't recall ever reading it before. Yani, I don't recall having read this hadith before. I don't know how, but it's a hadith that we definitely need to know. Children and parents need to know. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith that's reported from Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يجزي ولد والده إلا أن يجده مملوكا فيشتريه فيعتقه. يعني a child will never repay his parent. And here the word that's used is والد, but there's no doubt from the context of the hadith that what is intended here is one's parent, whether father or mother. And walid is a word that means parent, as well as it means father, it also means parent, in the same way that zawj means spouse, in the same way that it means husband. So if we say zawj and zawja, then that means husband and wife. But if you say zawj, it can mean husband, it can mean wife, it means spouse. And the same way here, the walid here, in this hadith, means the parent, that the child can never recompense, can never repay one's parent, except that he finds his parent in slavery. And then he purchases him, takes him out of slavery, and then he frees him. Now, so I'm just going to look quickly at some discussion concerning this hadith, because of the importance of the hadith and the magnitude of it. يعني from the explanation of this hadith, As-Sindi, he says, فيه أن العبد كالحالك فكأنه بإعتاق أخرجه من الحلاك إلى الحياة. يعني that the slave is like a person who has been destroyed. So it is as though when you freed him from slavery, يعني from that condition of being destroyed, you have يعني given him life. It's as though you have given him life. So doing so became equal to what your parent did for you, being the cause of your existence, bringing you into this world. Freeing them from slavery is equal to that, in that you have brought them from a condition of destruction back to life again. That's how he mentions this hadith. It is also mentioned in the explanation of this hadith that a person would not be able to repay completely, fully, their parent, no matter what they have done, due to the fact of the upbringing, the rearing, the protection and guarding, and the good that the person has done for that child, including the fact that they are the cause of their existence. Unless, as mentioned in this hadith, the child finds their parent in slavery, buys them, frees them, makes them free, so after they had been the property of someone else. It says that in this hadith is an indication of the يعني بيان لعظم حق الوالدين. يعني this hadith is a clarification of the magnitude of the right of parents. How is that so? يعني the magnitude of the rights of the parents is such that you can never repay them unless you found them as a slave and freed them from slavery. Anything less than that, you can't do enough. Also in this hadith, الحث على الإتق للمماليك عموما وللوالد خصوصا. There also in this hadith is an encouragement to free slaves, generally speaking, and to free one's parent especially, if they were found in that condition. And the meaning here is that if the magnitude of freeing one's parent from slavery is the only thing with which a person can repay their parents, it shows the magnitude of this, freeing someone from slavery, and therefore freeing any slave is a tremendous act of worship. Freeing any slave, but especially freeing one's parents. After this hadith, the Shaykh mentions, and I'm going to read what remains just quickly, inshallah, in the time that we have remaining, but I just want to take just one more moment for this particular hadith and remind us, and whoever has parents that are still living, this hadith needs to be reflected upon. And nobody should take this matter lightly. This is a hadith that's sahih, which the Prophet ﷺ said that the obligation that you have to your parents can never be fulfilled. You could never repay them for what they have done for you unless you found them as the property of another human being and freed them from slavery. Therefore, and it is incumbent upon us to do more. And if your parents are alive, it is incumbent upon us to do more, because if we're not freeing them from slavery, we can never repay them. The Shaykh goes on to say, he mentions here a report in which it is reported from Abu Huraira, Abi Burda, رضي الله عنه, he said, كان ابن عمر يطوف بالبيت فرأى رجلا يطوف حاملا أمه وهو يقول إني لها بعيرها المذلل إن أذعرت ركابها لم أذعر أحملها وما حملتني أكثر أتراني يا ابن عمر جزيتها قال لا ولا زفرة واحدة. This narration came from Al-Marwazi in his book Al-Bir wa Sila. So part of this is a little bit unclear, but in any case I'll do the best that I can. Allahumma musta'an. Yani he said that Ibn Umar was making tawaf around the Kaaba, yani circumambulating the Kaaba, and he saw a man who was going around the Kaaba carrying his mother, and he was saying, indeed I am her camel that is subdued and subservient for her. In azarat rikabaha lam azar. This statement is not translated in the book, and I can see why it's not translated. It's not crystal clear, but it appears to me that the meaning of it, in azarat rikabaha, yani if her mount is frightened or became frightened, لَمْ أَزْعَرْ, then I would not be frightened. It seems as though the meaning is that I am her mount that is going to be steady, that's going to be safe for her to ride upon. And Allah knows best. But I can see why the translator left that line out. He said that I have carried her. Yani the man carrying his mother around the Kaaba, he's saying I have carried her. And before we close out the class tonight, Imam, if you want to help us translate that line, give you a chance to look at it. The line from the man Ibn Umar. He said that I carried her, or I am carrying her, and she didn't carry me more, yani more than I am carrying her. And then he said to Ibn Umar, what do you think? Do you see that I have repaid her? And Ibn Umar said, no way, yani not even, yani what you have done doesn't even equal to one moan or groan that yani she experienced, alluding to yani the woman yani in pregnancy or in labor pains.
You يكون الماء موصولا يعني والذي يعني حملتني
أكثر
يعني ليس إنكارا يعني إقرارا يعني أحملها والتي يعني حملتني يعني كمية ما حملتني أكثر.
It could be. And perhaps the meaning is, I have carried her, and her carrying me is more.
Mastariya.
But the problem with that, yani perhaps, is that he's thinking that his carrying her is equal. He's saying to Ibn Umar, have I not repaid her? And Ibn Umar is saying, no way. And it's as though he thinks that he has at least carried her equally, if not more. Allahu a'lam. And it's not exactly crystal clear. But in any case, I think the meaning, what is intended here, is that the person is carrying his mother around the Kaaba, and he's thinking he has done something, and Ibn Umar is telling him, not at all. That's the point, yani the core of the meaning here. And the same meaning came in the next narration that's also mentioned by Al-Marwazi in the same book, Al-Bir wa Sila. And Al-Hasan, he said that Ibn Umar رأى رجلا يطوف بالبيت حاملا أمه وهو يقول لها أتريني جزيتك يا أمة فقال ابن عمر أي لقعوا لا والله ولا طلقة واحدة. يعني that ابن عمر saw a man going around the Kaaba, circumambulating the Kaaba, making tawaf, carrying his mother, and he was saying to her, do you, yani, would you say, do you believe, do you see that I have repaid you, O my mother? And Ibn Umar, hearing that, said to him, O foolish one, no way, by Allah, not even, yani, that which she experienced, yani, a sharp pain or spasm that she experienced in carrying you, yani, perhaps, yani, more than likely alluding to, yani, the pain that the woman experiences, not only in the pregnancy, but even more so in the delivery. Again, the point of this narration is that, yani, a person carrying his mother on his back around the Kaaba in Tawaf is indeed a tremendous thing. Ibn Umar didn't consider it to be much of anything in comparison to what she has done for him. The Shaykh says, and this is the end of this topic. فهذه من جملة الحقوق فهذه من جملة الحقوق التي ينبغي أن يرعاها المسلم لهؤلاء الكبار وشيء من التنبيهات والإشارات حول هذا الموضوع الكبير الجليل. He said, so this is some of the rights that is incumbent upon the Muslim to pay attention to guard and to protect and to preserve for these, yani the elderly. And also included in it is some tanbihat, yani some points that he is bringing to our attention, and isharat, some things that he alluded to without going into detail concerning this magnificent, tremendous subject. Shaykh closes with dua. He says, وَأَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى أَيَّأُمَّ مَجَالِسَنَا بِالْخَيْرِ وَالْبَرَكَةِ. We ask Allah the Blessed and the Most High that He fill our gatherings, yani these gatherings of knowledge, with goodness and with yani a lot of good, yani kafratul khair, al baraka, blessings. When you waffaqana lil ilm al nafi wal amal al salih, and that Allah grant us success in achieving beneficial knowledge and righteous deeds. Yani that the purpose of the gatherings of knowledge is that we obtain, that we acquire beneficial knowledge, and then that we act upon it by doing righteous deeds. وأسأله تبارك وتعالى بأسمائه الحسنى وصفاته العلى أن يبارك في كبار السن من آبائنا وأقاربنا وجيراننا وعموم المسلمين. And I also ask Allah the Blessed and the Most High by His beautiful names and His lofty qualities and characteristics that He bless the elderly from amongst our parents, in our relatives, and our neighbors, and the Muslims in general. وَأَنْ يَحْفَظَهُمْ بِحِفْظِهِ وَأَنْ يَتَوَلَّاهُمْ بِرِعَايَتِهِ وَأَنْ يُوَفِّقَهُمْ بِتَوْفِيقِهِ وَأَنْ يَمُنَّ عَلَيْهِ عليهم بحسن الختام والطيب العمل والسديد القول. يعني that also he says that I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his beautiful names and his lofty characteristics and qualities that he blessed the elderly from amongst our parents and our relatives and our neighbors and the Muslims in general, and that he protect them, that Allah protect them with his protection, and that he take care for them, yani that he take responsibility for them, yani caring for them himself, and that he grant them success from himself, and that he favor them to have a good ending, yani that they die in a good condition, and that they have righteous deeds, and that they have correct speech. And then the Shaykh goes on to supplicate, saying, كما أسأله سبحانه أن يعظم البركة في هذه الرسالة وأن يجعلها سببا مباركا للصلاح والإصلاح وأن يتقبلها بقبول حسن وأن يجعلها لوجهه خالصة ولعباده نافعة. He said, and also I ask Allah subhanahu the Most High that he magnify the barakah, the blessings of this risalah, this essay, or this treatise. وَأَنْ يَجْعَلَهَا, and that he make it a blessed cause, yani a means to uprightness and rectification. And that he accept it with a good acceptance. And that he make it to be done, yani purely for his face, yani for Allah alone. And that it be of benefit for his worshippers. إِنَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى سَمِيعُ الدُّعَاءِ وَهُوَ أَهْلُ الرَّجَاءِ وَهُوَ حَسْبُنَا وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ. He said, indeed Allah تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى, he is the one who hears the dua. And he is the one who is worthy and entitled that we have hope in him. And he is sufficient for us, and he is the best one to yani take charge of our affairs. And the end, he said, وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا, and the end of our yani dua to Allah is to say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala ali wa sahbihi ajma'in. And so we close by saying the praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds, and may the salat and salam be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and upon his family and upon his companions, all of them. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So this is the end of what we wanted to cover concerning the rights of the elderly, and there is yani some questions that perhaps we may cover next week, but if we don't cover them next week, I hope that most of them are clear, inshallah. Now, did the brother leave? Oh, the brother had a question during the class. Okay, fadl. Go ahead. Fadl. I don't know, I thought you were looking like you wanted to say something. Now, Imam. Brothers.
You mentioned an explanation of the hadith.
Hmm.
And so, and he confirmed what you mentioned. He says, in Az-Iraq, the Kabuha Ay, in Nafra, Dabatuha, Lati Tarkabuha, Lam Uda'ar. And it's all in her, it's an animal, actual animal that she rode, ran away and left her. I wouldn't run away and abandon her. And then he also heard what you mentioned.
I hope that you heard this. He said that Sheikh Ruslan, he is explaining that report, and he's explaining that the meaning of it, that if the animal ran away, if he became frightened and ran away, then I, the human camel for her, would not do so. Now.
He says, وَلَمْ أَذْعَرْ, he says, كِنَايَةٌ عَنْ شِدَّةِ طَاعَةٌ وَالْحِرْصُ عَلَى الْبِرْ مَا عَدَمِي التَّأَبُّهِ وَتَدَجُّرِي مِنْ خِدْمَتِهَا. And also it's an indication of his complete obedience and his determination to be good to her without any complaining, without getting fed up with her in serving her.
MashaAllah.
He also affirms what you mentioned in terms of the explanation, because the debate that he mentions here doesn't have ma. He says, حَمَلْتُهَا أَكْثَرَ مِمَّا حَمَلَتْ without the ma حَمَلَتْ.
So the narration is a little bit different, but it's clear, that narration there.
Yeah.
Yani that I carried her more than she carried me.
Yeah.
And then Ibn Umar rejected that idea?
No.
That's not so. No.
So basically, in his mind, he felt as though what he was doing was equal.
He felt it was equal, or more.
More.
But even equal, it's not even equal, it's not even near it, it's not even close to it. He was trying to do something good, alhamdulillah. But he, and he over, and he estimated what he had done. Yeah. Now, tape. So we'll stop with this, and we'll see what Allah has in store for us next week, inshallah. I think, when is the first day of Dhul-Hijjah?
Monday or Tuesday
being the first day of Dhul-Hijjah. So we will be in, yani next Jumu'ah, inshallah, we'll be already in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And so just, yani, we should be alerted to this Monday or Tuesday, that this is a special time in which the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in numerous hadith that are authentic, wording of them being slightly different. But they are in one of the narrations that he mentions, the narration of Abu Dawud, that there is no deeds, good deeds that a person does that is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than good deeds done in these 10 days. There are no good deeds that a person can do at any time that's more beloved to Allah than the good deeds done in these 10 days. So that means these 10 days are extremely valuable. A person should, yani, be very serious about utilizing this time. If Allah allows us to live until Monday or Tuesday when these days begin, then we have to make a plan from now and begin, yani, prepping ourselves by beginning to do some of those things that we want to do in that time, and make a schedule for ourselves and make a plan and an outline, and even write it out that I want to do certain things and strive to try to do those things, because this is the best time in which a person can do good deeds, yani, or the deeds will be more beloved to Allah in this time than any other time. So we shouldn't take this matter lightly. We shouldn't let these days go like regular days. It's just Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. No, it's the month of Dhul-Hijjah, and these first 10 days are so important that when the Prophet ﷺ said that to them, they said, "Wala al-jihad fi sabilillah," not even if a person goes out in jihad in the way of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Wala al-jihad fi sabilillah," not even if a person goes out and fights in the way of Allah, would it be more beloved to Allah than these days? Unless a person goes out with their self and with their wealth, and they come back with nothing, meaning they give their life and their wealth in the way of Allah, that's the only thing that will be better, than more beloved to Allah than doing good deeds in these days. Therefore, a person has to, yani, utilize this time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. Yani, may He incline our hearts to take an advantage of this time and give us the strength and the ability and the consciousness, you know, to be able to do it, that we actually utilize these days and these nights in that which is good, exclusively in that which is good, yani, meaning that we're not only striving actively to do good deeds, but we're also actively trying to avoid evil deeds. Yani, not only in the daytime, but in the nighttime. Yani, whether it's acts of worship or just, yani, things that are not necessarily ritual worship. Yani, all kinds of other things. Yani, prayer and fasting and charity and all of that for sure. But also just saying a kind word, yani, smiling at a person, whatever. All of those kind of things are also so important. Yani, being kind, being generous, being yani, forgiving and pardoning and merciful, and all of these things are important for us to strive for in these days. From amongst the best of deeds that a person can do is fasting. From amongst the best of deeds that a person can do is fasting. And yani, more general, from the best of deeds, yani, from the best of things that we can focus on, is striving to make sure that whatever we do in these days, whether they're acts of ritual worship or other than that, that we make sure that we are doing it correctly, according to what Allah has legislated, and that we're doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. And that we're doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.